Done with frizz? Say goodbye to that poof. Repel humidity and tame those flyaways. One drop, frizz stops with John Frieda Frizzy Serum. Your hair talks and frizz never interrupts. John Frieda Frizzy Serum. One drop, frizz stops.
Only from John Frieda.
Want to make your blonde blonde? Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair two full shades to give you your best blonde every day. Your hair talks. Make a statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection. Only from John Frieda.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, DJ Foster. I am joined today, coming back to the show, Jordan Heimer. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good. It's a pleasure to be back. What an honor to be on a second time.
I feel like, and I was talking to somebody about this, that I don't know if you have like a lot of things going on, because you do, but you should just probably just be my co-host like permanently.
DJ, that means a lot to me. Not only is it flattering, but as someone who missed your wedding and still feels terrible about it, it's good to know that I'm still like in the DJ Foster close-knit circle. And yeah, man, I can come on whenever you want. Anytime you need a co-pilot, I'm your man.
Were you thinking that you were in the doghouse for the wedding thing?
Look, I put myself in the doghouse. I don't feel good about that. You know, and when I have the Andrew Hans and the Charlie Widowses, just to drop a few names of the world,
Sure. Telling
me like, look, you were missed. There was a lot of discussion about, was your story real? Did you make it up? Did you actually misschedule a flight? Look, my character's being impugned.
Yeah.
I had a wedding I missed. I don't feel good about any of it.
Yeah, you were missed big time. If it makes you feel better, Allie's brother, so my wife's brother, my new brother-in-law, got so drunk that he actually got two people cut off at the bar. Himself and someone that looked vaguely like him. And you know who that someone was?
I hope it was you.
Zach Harper. It wasn't me, but Zach Harper got cut off at my wedding because he kind of looks like my brother-in-law.
That's really funny.
He was like, no, I'm fine. I've had like two beers. What do you mean I'm cut off?
What did they used to say on that board that he used to edit when something big would happen? Was it smash?
Oh,
it was smash! I know, this is like a seven-year-old internet-only joke.
You're going back to Daily Dime Live.
Daily Dime Live, nicely done.
The DDL days. Zach Harper smash, yeah, so that happened. So you were not the goat of the wedding, don't worry.
God, that's so funny.
Let's get to this, man. So we got a couple things to talk. So we got the NBA GM survey was just released 2 days ago. Always fun to see what the assistant to the assistant general manager of each team in the league has to say about about the NBA.
And then are you implying that NBA GMs don't take an hour out of their day to fill out this survey?
I am implying that. Do you feel like that's wrong?
I like to believe it's wrong. I like to imagine that this is the 30 general managers of the NBA. And, like, this keeps them up at night, and they can't get to their scouting reports or, you know, looking at the waiver wire because this is what they need to do for 2 hours before they go to bed.
These are Dwight Schrute opinions for each team, I think. We also have Bovada. We're using them for their Vegas odds. We're going to play a little game called GM or Vegas. We're going to go through the GM picks in certain categories. And then we're going to see what Vegas has it projected as. In general, I feel like you and I both gamble a little bit.
A little bit.
In general, we're probably going to trust Vegas more than the GMs, right?
Vegas does a better job of consistently winning than almost any of these GMs.
Yeah, Vegas is freakishly good. Do you know what okay, I'm going to tell a little story. The last Clippers preseason game against the Kings, the Clippers were -3.5. In that game, the Kings made a 20-2 run in the fourth quarter to cover.
By the way, included a layup off a stolen inbound pass with about 3 seconds left in the game.
Right, correct. And they called timeout, too, to get that, to get a final score. It was insane in a preseason game. Just to remind you that gambling is dumb. Right?
Gambling is dumb.
Gambling is dumb.
Preseason games is next level dumb. Even I don't do that.
Super dumb. And you can't really complain to anyone if you have a bad beat in the preseason, because everyone will just look at you like some kind of monster.
And everyone would be right. Like, hey, that's a really sad story. There's a Gambling Anonymous meeting at my local church this Tuesday. Maybe you should tell it again there.
So true. Oh, it's unfortunate. Okay, let's get to it. So, 2017 NBA Rookie of the Year. We'll start there. Chris Dunn won the vote for the GMs. GMs, 46.7% of the GMs think Minnesota Timberwolves guard Chris Dunn will be the Rookie of the Year. Buddy Hield came in second, tied with Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid came in fourth, tied with Brandon Ingram for fourth. So those are your top five. Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Brandon Ingram. Las Vegas has Buddy Hield as the leader for Rookie of the Year at plus 350, Chris Dunn at plus 400, Ben Simmons at plus 500, Joel Embiid plus 500, and Brandon Ingram plus 550. Now, Jordan, I ask you, who do you trust here, Vegas or NBA GMs? You got Buddy Hield winning Rookie of the Year, do you have Chris Dunn winning Rookie of the Year, or do you have neither?
So I personally have neither in terms of a bet, right? So I'm not even talking about who I think is most likely, but in terms of what I think is a good bet, neither of these are where I theoretically may have already put money. That being said, I think Vegas is on with Buddy Hield in the sense that we've seen just over the last 4 or 5 years, think Tyreke Evans, think MCW, that playing time and shot attempts has a huge amount to do with winning Rookie of the Year. You can't win Rookie of the Year if you're only playing 18 or 20 minutes a game, or if, like Ben Simmons, you're going to miss half or three quarters or the entire year. It just doesn't work like that. And the inference with the Chris Dunn picks that Ricky Rubio is going to be moved quickly from Minnesota and then all of a sudden Chris Dunn is going to be leading that team as point guard, I don't buy that personally. I actually think that Ricky Rubio is going to turn out to be kind of a Tibbs guy. He plays defense. He knows how to run an offense. So the idea that Chris Dunn is suddenly going to be playing 28, 30 minutes a night for this team anytime soon, unless you believe that, I don't really see how he wins Rookie of the Year. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. Chris Dunn is not a perfect player by any stretch of the imagination. He did look great in Summer League, but I don't think he's a great jump shooter yet. I'm not completely sold that he can be a starting point guard for a team with playoff aspirations. I really don't think that they're going to trade Ricky Rubio yet. I think maybe at some point down the line they will, but not quite yet. My favorite pick here, if I had to pick between Dunn and Hield, I would lean with the GMs and go Dunn. But my favorite of that group is probably Brandon Ingram. How do you feel about that?
Well, again, the question I suppose is playing time. I mean, if the Lakers hadn't just spent a gajillion dollars on Luol Deng, I love Ingram, and I do think he's someone who's ready to contribute to that team right away. If he becomes kind of a six-man type in terms of his minutes, and he's playing 26 or 28 minutes a night, I love him to win it. I'll tell you, not that I think either of these guys are prohibitive favorites, but in terms of money-line guys, I like either Embiid, who's looked so much better in the preseason than I thought he would.
Yeah.
I mean, what he's doing defensively, I know, obviously, huge caveat, it's the NBA preseason.
Sure.
But if you watch, say, that Wizards-Sixers game the other night, he's getting out there on switches and hanging with Bradley Beal and John Wall on the perimeter in a really impressive way for anyone his size, much less basically a rookie. And the other one I like is Sabonis. Because he's going to get that starting job in OKC, and minutes matter for this award. They shouldn't as much as they do. But if he's playing 30 minutes a night and no other rookie is averaging, say, 25, that gives him such a huge leg up. And he's something like plus 2,800.
I got him at plus 3,500.
Plus 3,500?
35-1 odds that he wins Rookie of the Year.
To me, that's an interesting place to throw down $100 or $200 and just say, he could win by default, depending on how these situations shake out in other franchises.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't look like there's any prohibitive favorite. The GM survey has done winning fairly convincingly, but there's a bunch of sleeper guys who, if something happens on the wings to Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray at plus 2,000 isn't too bad. Jaylen Brown in Boston could get more minutes than people think. He's plus 3,000. So there's a lot of sneaky options here. Let me put it this way, I wouldn't bet on one of the big favorites. I would rather put my money on one of the kind of sleeper guys, or a Joel Embiid or a Brandon Ingram, if I was going to bet on this.
We're agreed there.
Okay, good. Let's move on to NBA MVP. There's actual Clippers in this one. Oh, I did want to point out, if you're a crazy person and think that Doc Rivers is going to play his rookie with back problems, Bryce Johnson is plus 5,000. So there's that.
Well, because look, Doc, obviously, his number one priority going into every season is development of the young guys. He likes to put a lot of trust in rookies, give them some minutes, and see what they're all about.
Absolutely. All right, MVP. Let's see, the NBA GMs. I was kind of surprised by this.
Me too.
The NBA GMs have LeBron James winning the 2016-2017 MVP with 46.7% of the vote. A convincing number. Russell Westbrook comes in second at 23.3%. Stephen Curry and James Harden are tied for third. Kevin Durant is fifth. Thoughts on that?
I think my first thought is just that the assistant to the assistant of NBA GMs don't seem to be gamblers. These are not the decisions of people who are putting money on MVP bets.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think I have anything to say that people haven't said a lot about this MVP race. It's hard for me to imagine that LeBron simply plays enough, or that the Cavs kind of go hard enough in the regular season to make him the MVP. You know, if they kind of cruise to 54, 56 wins and he takes 10 or 12 games off, I think that affects voters. Westbrook and Harden, again, it's very rare. It's not baseball. It's very rare in the NBA to see an MVP off a team that isn't a top three or a top four seed in their conference. It happens, but hasn't happened in 10 or 15 years.
It's true.
Durant, I actually think, is a logical pick if it weren't for the fact that this is being voted on by churlish human beings who have kind of idiotic narrative agendas.
Like, yeah.
I think Durant is going to be amazing in Golden State. I think he's going to score 28 or 30 points a night. I think they're going to win 68 or 70 games. And yet, I think then people are going to kind of make this narrative argument that, well, you can't be MVP if you're ring chasing and you left, and in fact the team won three fewer games, or whatever. I think my pick would be a guy who's not even on this list.
Wow.
Which would be, if the Spurs win 60 games and Kawhi Leonard is dominant and wins his third consecutive Defensive Player of the Year and takes even another step forward as an offensive force and continues to shoot 38 or 40% from three, I think that's a great MVP candidate.
Yep, and I think with people paying more attention to defense than ever, I feel like Kawhi is going to get a big reputation bonus when it comes to when it comes time to settle up the MVP. I think you can almost not quite rule them out, but you can put the Warriors guys way down the list in my mind. Because how, like you said, how incredible would Kevin Durant have to be for people to overlook the narrative to think, oh, well, of course he can do that on the best team. These guys, I think, are all just going to kind of cancel each other out in the minds of the voters, and it'll be someone else who steps up with big numbers. I think.
By the way, sorry, DJ.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, by the way, I'm tweaking kind of the narrative voters, but they're not entirely crazy to say, can I vote for an MVP who's getting nothing but open looks, essentially?
Right.
Is that an MVP when it's never been easier to score your numbers and play that brand of basketball?
And there's going to be people who say, they set the record last year, they're not better than they were last year, why would we name him the most valuable player, right?
Oh, I always love those late March, early April conversations that start with, well, it's all about the meaning of the word valuable.
we're gonna hear that a lot this year. Like, a nauseating amount.
A nauseating amount. What is Blake Griffin at on the Bovada?
I was just gonna get to that. So, the Clippers, Blake Griffin is at a crazy number, in my mind. Plus 3,300.
you like that bet?
And Chris Paul is also there at plus 3,300. So I'm going to ask you, before we get to that, if you had to bet on one Clipper winning the MVP award this year, would you put your money on Blake or would you put your money on Chris?
Blake.
Me too. I agree completely.
You and I are both Clipper guys, and something that I think has gone kind of underreported outside of Clipper nerd websites is that Doc, who is not a coach who's been well known for kind of changing it up philosophically in the few years we've watched him, apparently will be changing up the way he plays his rotations this year. And there's been a lot of talk about staggering Blake and Chris so that one of them is always on the court. Additionally, Blake is really taking this shooting the three thing seriously this year. He's a great shooting in the preseason. He looks bouncy and springy and whatever other adjectives say that he's fully healthy. And I think if he's playing, you know, those extra minutes without Chris and he's got that three in his arsenal and the Clippers become the number two seed and they win 58 or 62 games, I think Blake's a great MVP candidate.
And if you want to go down narrative street, which MVP voters like to, he's coming off a year where he battled injuries, where he had probably the worst moment in his career when he punched the staffer. A lot of people are down on him. His stock is low. I think this little comeback season where he puts it all together and stays healthy and reminds the NBA that he's the best power forward in basketball, I can see it gaining momentum and people being like, yeah, Blake should be the MVP. I think the only thing that will hold him back is defensive numbers and defensive stats. But if the Clippers are a top 5 or top 10 defense, as they've always kind of been under Doc, you can make the argument that he shouldn't get dinged for that too much. I like Blake as MVP this year. 33 to 1 odds.
Those are nice odds.
That's crazy to me. Okay, so Vegas has it in order. They have it Russell Westbrook at plus 200, Steph Curry plus 450, LeBron James plus 450, Kevin Durant plus 1,000, Anthony Davis plus 1,000, kind of the forgotten man, Kawhi plus 1,000, James Harden plus 1,000, Paul George plus 2,200, and then finally you get to Blake and Chris Paul, who are plus 3,300, along with Damian Lillard and Kyrie Irving. And yeah. Carmelo Anthony, weirdly enough.
Boy, I guess if the Knicks somehow win 50 games, maybe Carmelo's in that conversation, but hard to imagine.
No way. I'd vote. I don't care what Carmelo does. Chris Stapps would get my vote before Carmelo.
Well, obviously you and I are agreed on that.
Chris Stapps. Love it. Okay. All right. So we're going with, so we decided, did we go Vegas or GM there? I guess we went neither again.
I think we went neither. And maybe there Vegas is simply reflecting that they kind of understand the minds of the bettors more than what Vegas insiders might truly believe is the wise bet.
If you can't vote for Blake Griffin, who we're both agreed on, who we would bet on there, who would be the next guy that you'd feel comfortable betting on, other than Kawhi, other than Blake? Is there a third guy you would pick?
Yeah, I suppose I would go with kind of the popular pick that I'm hearing a lot right now, which is Harden.
Yeah.
But I don't totally buy that this Houston team is going to be a 48 or a 50-win team the way everyone seems to. So if I'm wrong about that, then I think Harden becomes a really strong candidate. But if they win 43 or 44 games, he's not even in the conversation.
Yeah. I don't hate Paul George at plus 2,200. But the Pacers would have to be pretty ridiculously good to get that like second seed in the East good, I think, for him to be able to win that.
Yeah, I guess that's one of those interesting things where to think that Paul George could be MVP, you have to actually ask all these kind of knock-on questions about how good is Miles Turner going to be, how good is Teague going to be, etc. Can that team get to 52 wins?
Why isn't DeAndre Jordan on the board for MVP? Ben Simmons is on the board. Dwight Howard's on the board. Our boy Chris Stapps, Kevin Love is on the board. Does Kevin Love or Bradley Beal or Derrick Rose or Brandon Ingram or Ben Simmons, do these guys really have better odds than DeAndre at winning MVP?
I guess it's like asking who has better odds to win the presidency November 8th, you or me? Like, what's the smarter bet there?
Oh, definitely you. You actually watched the debate last night.
That's true. I'm actually a very popular writing candidate right now. There's a movement. But look, every year in every sport, you look at certain bets that Vegas puts out there, and these are the people giving their money away bets. And Vegas is happy to let you do that.
Yeah,
you
know, that's true.
You can bet on literally every finals matchup. There's someone out there right now who's betting on, like, Wolves, Knicks, it all comes together, or whatever. And Vegas is happy to throw odds out. Yeah, 1,000,000 to 1.
It's true. They will take your money and gladly take your money. Okay, so that's MVP, Rookie of the Year. We got that covered. I want to cover the Western Conference really quick. So, because we had you earlier in the summer, we went through each team. We gave kind of our projected win totals. Now the Vegas lines are out. So now we're going to see how you feel about the different teams here. So let me pull this up. We're doing just Western Conference. For the record.
That's great. I think earlier this summer I did Eastern Conference with you, so it's nice to switch it up.
We're going west now. So, let's see here. We'll start with the Dallas Mavericks. Vegas has them at 38.5 wins. You going over or you going under?
I'm going over.
You're going over, okay.
I've been burned going under on the Mavericks now 3 years in a row. And, of course, right when I flip, I'm sure it will be the year that everything falls apart. But I've just learned my lesson about betting against Carlisle, Nowitzki, and whatever scrap heap they throw together and call a team that year.
Yep. They've got some veterans that they will probably piece together to a surprising 500 finish that most people didn't expect.
If Bogut stays healthy for, let's say Bogut plays 65 games,
okay.
I think that's a real difference maker for them. And they do get to 41 or 42 wins.
Yeah, when's the last time they had, like, a real actual center? I mean, Zaza was good last year in the first half of the year, but...
And Bogut's such an underrated playmaker. I mean, yeah,
great
he's
great passer.
Protection that Zaza doesn't offer, but what a great passer. And I just imagine Rick Carlisle's gonna really do something with him there. Hey, we both got calls.
Phone calls during the podcast. It makes us look like important people almost, you know?
Yeah, like we're real pros.
Like we're Adam Schefter over here just firing off tweets during SportsCenter segments. Okay, so we're both going over on Dallas.
Yes, over. Okay. Slightly over. Although in real life, I think it's a stay away.
Yeah, I would stay away too. And that's a good clarification. Thank you for adding that. Because I don't want to bet that, but I would have it at the over. Okay, Denver Nuggets. Surprisingly high line. I was kind of excited to bet on them, but... They earned a lot of hype kind of late in the offseason, and they're kind of like your favorite writer's favorite sleeper team now. The Denver Nuggets are penciled in at 37 wins for Vegas. You going over or under?
Do I have to go first on all of these? That doesn't seem fair.
I'll go first on this one. I really like Denver. They have a lot of fun pieces in my mind. They're still very young, and I'm not sure... They all fit together. I don't know what to make of Manuel Mudiay yet. I'm going to say under, but it's a stay away for me.
It's funny because I was looking at these over-unders earlier, and there are so many teams, really for the first time in the last three or four seasons, that are finally doing something. There's not a lot of pure tank jobs this year.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of interesting talent, and obviously other than the upper echelons that are kind of their own tier... There are a lot of teams you want to say are going to be more interesting, but some of them have to lose, right? They can't all win 44 games.
Right.
And Denver's one of those teams. Like, I love the Nurkic, Jokic thing they've got going on, and I always have loved Gallinari, and they've got Wilson Chandler coming back. So I actually have them as a small over. I like Mike Malone. I think he's a guy who gets his team ready to play every night.
Yep.
And it's such a cliche, but I do think that mile-high advantage matters. I think every year there's five or six games they win because the other team is a mile high on the back end of a back-to-back and struggling to breathe.
Right.
So, yeah, I have them at like 39 or 40 wins.
That's a great point, and I think you just talked me into going over if I were to bet it. I don't want to bet it. They also have been kind of... accumulating assets for a while now, and you can kind of see a scenario where they may put together 2, 3, 4 pieces to go get one guy in a trade if they are competitive this year. So that's any team that could make a big altering trade like that is kind of scary to bet on at the beginning of the season. But over's fair there. I'm not going to fight you on that one.
That's true. And in real life, I think it's another stay away, but a team that we will all be watching a lot of on League Pass.
Yeah, they're going to be fun. Jokic, man, is legit. The way he passes, and just, he's going to be really, really good.
Love him. Not quite sure that this him playing defense at the four is going to work out, but we'll see. It's exciting to find out.
It is exciting to find out. Golden State is up next. I was a little surprised by this, to be honest with you. Their line is set at 66.5.
Over.
Yeah, over.
An easy over.
An easy over for me, too, and I would absolutely bet this.
There's this weird narrative out there. Like, I gotta stop using the word narrative. We need, like, a moratorium and a replacement of the word narrative. I hear talk. I hear things.
There it is.
Where, you know, last year they went for 73, and then they lost in the finals, and was it because they spent too much energy in the regular season, and therefore this year they're going to almost, like, intentionally somehow win 63 or 64 games. But then you look at the roster, and you think to yourself, well, winning 66 games means that they lost 16 times.
Yeah.
And you just try to conceptualize that team losing 16 games, it's really difficult.
They're going to bumble their way to at least 60 wins, right? They could just sleepwalk through the first, you know, 40 games of the season and not be able to figure out the pecking order. They're an easy 60-win team. So is 66.5 really that much more? I don't know. I feel like this is a 68-69 win team based on the roster every single time.
Yeah, I mean, the 538, you know, basketball preview is just starting up this week.
Yeah.
And so they're running their, like, wins, you know, whatever, the million simulations. And they've got them, obviously, real life and simulations are not the same, but they've got them simulated at, like, 75, 76 wins. They won't actually win 76 times, but the talent is ridiculous.
It's absurd. Do you see what they had the Clippers at, by the way?
I want to say lower than it should have been, because I think they're using now new injury predictions that come off of Chris and Blake both being injured, and they don't like, you know, the old guys that the Clips picked up.
Right.
So they had the Clippers somewhere in the high 40s, which, yeah, I think 40, is really low.
48 wins. They had Oklahoma City ahead of them this year.
That seems insane.
Absurd, right?
Yeah, that really seems crazy.
I saw that, and they had Oklahoma City, Utah. I could see Utah. Oklahoma City, Utah, San Antonio, Golden State. So they had the Clippers as the 5 seed in the West. They had Minnesota winning 2 less games than the Clippers.
Yeah, that seems really crazy. I mean, I love Minnesota under Tibbs, but I think the Clippers are going to be really good this year.
I think they are, too. I don't see any scenario where they're 5 or 6 games worse than they were last season based on what they dealt with last year with Blake.
Yeah, look, it's hard to imagine. The last 2 seasons, they've won, you know, low 50s, and both of those seasons, they've missed huge chunks from one of their all-stars. If these guys could actually play together for 70 or 80 games, again, they're going to walk into 50 wins.
Right, and they just brought just about everyone back, made some good veteran additions. It's not like you're worried about the new guys, like, finding their way. There's none of that. If anything, they're just trotting it back out. I just don't see why you would think they'd be so much worse. I don't get it, but that's numbers for you. It's interesting because Kevin Pelton's system had the Clippers at a low total like that too, and he didn't, those were his numbers, but he said he didn't really believe it.
But again, his system, and I have no idea how to pronounce Shikahoni, but the Shoney system or whatever it is Pelton uses, these both factor in injuries a lot, and they factor in trajectories of players based on recent injury history. And I wonder if they take into account the difference between a recurring injury and truly freak injuries, where the medical community at least seems to agree, hey, that's a weird thing that happened. There's no reason to think that that body part is, whatever, more vulnerable going forward.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Okay, so let's move on. Houston at, this is, Vegas is really good at this. They have Houston at 44 wins.
You go first this time.
This is a complete stay away because I have them, like, right at that mark, I think. I actually like them a little bit better. I would go over if I were to bet this. I believe in the offense. I believe in the talent and the shooting that they got. The health is, like, a crazy major concern, and there's just too many scenarios where multiple guys get hurt for them, which makes me want to stay away when I'm betting my valuable money. But I would go over if I were to bet this. What about you?
fully healthy, I really like this team.
Yeah.
But I would go under because I don't think there's any reason to think they will be fully healthy.
Under 44.
Patrick Beverley is already, you know, out and undergoing some kind of minor knee surgery. Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, I don't think either of them has played a full season in 4 or 5 years. Obviously, Monta Hunes is still up in the air because of the signing stuff. I actually think that would be a big loss if they can't figure out a way to get that settled. So I think I'd go under just based on kind of all the possibilities that they're not going to have their full roster.
Yep. I have no problems with that. Again, that's a stay away for me, too. With these lines, I feel like you always got to find one or two that you really like, bet those, and don't be the guy that bets on every single team.
Absolutely. You got to have 4, 5, 6 at the max, and at least my strategy is you go all in on your 6 deep feelings, you parlay them every way to Sunday, and some years that really works out for you, and some years it doesn't.
Yep, agreed. All right, so we're finally at the Los Angeles Clippers. They are listed. Vegas is not listening to these 538 and Shoney projections. Vegas has their own swag going on. They have the Clippers at 53.5. You go first.
Stay away, but I'm taking the over.
Yep.
I've watched these preseason games more closely than I have other teams. Blake looks really good. Chris looks really good. Although his shot's been a little funky, I still think he looks healthy. He looks like he's recovered from the injuries. And, you know, every year Doc puts together one of these old guys he trusts benches. And every year, I think Clipper fans wish he would try to develop some of the young guys a little more. But that being said, this is my favorite complement of veteran bench guys that the Clippers have had in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I like Allen Anderson. I like Mo Spates. I like Luke Mbamute playing 22, 24 minutes as a defense first three. I even kind of like, is it me or does Ray Felton look like he's in shape? He looks less bowling ball shaped than usual.
He looked really good in the preseason. I thought, other than Blake, he was the guy that impressed me most for the Clippers this year.
And you know, I just think it's easy to forget that in terms of a core four, DJ, Chris, Blake, and JJ Redick, that's basically as good a four guys as you can find in this league.
Yep.
I mean, Golden State notwithstanding, yeah, I think this team is going to win 55, 56, 57 games.
I agree. I have it over, and for me, I'm pretty comfortable betting on this. So I'm going over 53.5. It is interesting to note that the over is minus 135. So people are betting the over on this, right? Am I reading that right?
You're reading that right. In fact, I've been looking every day to see if maybe Vegas will flip it up to 54.5, but bring it back to like minus 105 or plus 100.
It's getting close. It seems like people are banging that, and it's interesting that there's the different projections that have them winning a drastic amount less. I mean, we're talking 6-7 games less, some of these projections. It's crazy. Okay, so we're getting to the Lakers. The little brother, as we like to call him here in Clipperland. 24.5. 24.5. You going over or under on that terribly depressing amount? 24.5.
I hate that Vegas has finally figured out to, you know, it used to be the easiest under in gambling was to look at the Lakers, even when they were good. Lakers fans are such lunatics.
Yeah.
Knicks fans, too.
Knicks,
and it would always be bet up. So, like, last year, it was like 34, 35. It was amazing. It was just free money. I guess because I'm petulant and I really don't like the Lakers, I'm still going to take the under. I like what they're doing. I like that they actually have a real system in there. I think Luke Walton's going to be good for them. I think D'Angelo Russell's going to be really, really good.
Agreed.
But they still have a terrible roster.
Yeah.
I mean, the bench is atrocious. They've got no depth. I'm not sure they have any real defense. Jordan Clarkson's very athletic, but is one of those guys who kind of doesn't know what he's doing playing off-ball defense. Mozgov's already injured. Julius Randle can't play defense aside from grabbing rebounds. And the West is really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I was expecting this to be higher just because of the crazy people that bet on the Lakers every year to win the NBA championship and just happily throw that money away. A little aside here, I'm a grown, like, 12-year-old, so I still play basketball video games. And one of my favorite pleasures in the world is playing NBA 2K and going up against someone who's using the Lakers, and they just have no idea what to do with their lineup. They're, like, starting Yee, and they're just, like, Larry Nance is playing small forward, and there's just so many weird pieces here that don't make sense, and there's nothing really fits together. There's, like, a weird youth movement going on, and then veterans like Dang and Mozgov, and it's just a disaster. That being said, 24.5 is a really low number, man.
I know, it's so low.
I'm gonna stay away. I might just have to take the over because I think Russell is a really good player who can kind of just carry them for games at a time with his scoring and his passing. So I'm gonna take the over, but I wouldn't be surprised if they finish with, you know, 25-26 wins.
Yeah, again though, fun team to watch this year for the first time in years, so that's a relief.
Yeah, except for when Luol Deng's on the court.
With Timofey Mozgov.
He bores Luol Deng, man. Why would you I don't get it. Why would you pay so much money to Luol Deng?
Those are strange contracts. Even stranger was the fact that Mozgov was like a 12:01 a.m. signing the first day of free agency. Like, we had the contract drawn up. We had driven to Moscow. We had, you know, like, we couldn't wait. We slid under his door of his dacha, and he signed. And thank God we have him, you know, in purple and gold.
I didn't even think about that, of how he was the top target all the way.
So weird.
Oh, hilarious. Okay, so Memphis Grizzlies are up next. Memphis is another team. They could have set this line anywhere from, like, 38 to 46, and I would stay away. They are at 42.5. I'm going to let you go first because I have no idea what to make of Memphis. Over or under?
I'm irrationally high on Memphis.
Really?
And, by the way, not for any reason that makes any logical sense. Like, the logical argument is to say the exact same stuff I just said about Houston. This is all about injuries, and these are guys who have high injury risks and bad injury histories. But I just love watching these guys play together. I'm so happy they've kept the core four together. And I almost feel like they're just due for a healthy season that reminds us all how good Conley and Gasol really are.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have done a little bit on the edges to finally address kind of their athleticism, youth, and shooting issues that have plagued them over the years. I kind of like some of these guys. The other Green, whose first name I can never remember. Is it Jamichael?
Yeah.
I like Jamichael Green, and I like Wade Baldwin, who they have, you know, their rookie that they're backing up at point guard.
Yep.
And I just think that this team's, again, like, if those guys stay healthy, there's a reason that they always won 48 or 52 games over the last few years. Last year they managed to win 42 games, and they were a mass unit towards the end.
They were.
I mean, Lance Stephenson was, like, starring for them in playoff games. and they seem to really like, you know, the new coach, and he's got more of a ball movement offense that is a little bit more like what they're running in Miami in the Big Three era. And I just like all that stuff. And obviously, if Marc Gasol breaks his foot 2 weeks from now, I look like an idiot. But I think this is one I'm going to end up actually betting.
Interesting. Okay. I'm a little worried about their depth behind their big-name guys. Zach Randolph, I don't know that he's viable anymore. I know that he's proven us wrong kind of for many years now. But, geez, at some point you just think he's got to fall off completely and can't guard anyone, and there's issues there. Chandler Parsons, I don't trust to stay healthy. They did address some of their shooting woes, but maybe not quite enough, I think, to give them the edge. The West, I think, is a little tougher this year than it was last year, with, like you said, so many teams not necessarily tanking anymore and actually trying to be competitive, even if it's misguided like the Lakers. So I think I'm going to take the under on Memphis, but I'm going to stay away.
Totally fair. The fact that I'm, you know, betting on the come for Chandler Parsons's and Conley and Gasol's health is not going to look smart in 3 months. but I may do it anyway because I like it when the Grizzlies are good. I want them to be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. They're a good contrast for the Clippers when they're good, right?
Absolutely. You know, they had the three epic series, and I do think that was a team that, bad blood notwithstanding, I think they all really came to respect each other by the end of that trilogy.
Yep, agreed. All right, Minnesota Timberwolves, everyone's favorite team. Karl-Anthony Towns is our new overlord. He's going to win 17 MVPs in a row. Never mind that we were all talking up Anthony Davis and the Pelicans in the exact same manner a year ago. Forget that. It's all about Karl Anthony Towns taking over the world. Vegas is actually has their expectations tempered for the Timberwolves. They have it at 40.5. You going over or under?
You go first on this one.
I'm going to go over. Even with, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves hype is insane. It's gotten to these crazy levels where people are kind of penciling them in for 47, 48 wins. That's nuts in my mind. I don't think they're going to be that good. I do think they can compete for the 8 seed with Tibbs there. The defense is going to be pretty strong. It's just so hard to trust so many 21, 22-year-olds to all figure it out together at the same time. I think I have them winning like 42 games. So I got to take the over. This is 40.5 is at one -150 right now. So if you want to get it at 40.5, you should probably act pretty soon here. What do you think?
Yeah, there are other sites that already have them at 41.5 or 42.5, but obviously with much better odds, you know, -115, +100, 42.5. I think I'm on this hype train. And the main reason, obviously the talent notwithstanding, I think Sam Mitchell was the worst coach in the league last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this team was atrocious defensively. I forget what they were points per possession, but I want to say they were 28th, 29th, or 30th on defense last year. And that's just not going to happen again this year. You know, they were playing a style of basketball last year. I guess I apologize to Sam Mitchell. Byron Scott was the worst coach in the league last year.
Oh, that's a good call. Good correction.
But he was running Byron neck and neck for most outdated coaching philosophy in 2015-16.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, well reported at this point, Tibbs kind of spent his sabbatical year going from hip young team to hip young team and seeing all the ways the guys are, you know, doing development and coaching now. And I think we're going to see a slightly different Tibbs. And I think this team's going to be really good. And I think they'll be the 7 or the 8 seed.
Yep, Anthony Wiggins is going to play 44 minutes a night and destroy the world under Tibbs. I am excited for them. I just wish that people would slow down with the Karl Anthony Towns stuff about him already being a top 10 player in the league and all this different stuff. It's just too much too soon. Like, let's pump the brakes just a little bit on
him. It is a little crazy, but what I noticed, because I just pulled up their roster, is that even their secondary guys are kind of like guys I've always liked.
Yeah,
who cool. Either weren't in the right spot last year, or Jordan Hill stuck behind 18 centers in Indiana, but like, Gheorghe Deng, Jordan Hill,
yeah.
Bazinka, Shabazz Muhammad even, Cole Aldrich. Like, these are all guys who have NBA skills, and I just believe that Tibbs is going to know how to put those together to make something.
I think their front court, I'm a little worried about their wing rotation, but their front court, like you said, Jang and Aldrich and those guys, they're pretty deep back there. And defensively, I mean, we saw the benefits of what a Cole Aldrich can do for your team. Last year with the Clippers, I think defensively they're going to be really good. Let's move on. New Orleans Pelicans, they have it at, Vegas has it at 37. I'll go first here. I hate New Orleans this year. I think a lot of people are talking themselves into it. They're already without Drew Holiday. So that Tyreke Evans, his knee surgery, he's probably not going to be ready to go for a while. Anthony Davis is impossible to depend on. 37, to me, I'm taking the under. I can understand why you would take the over, because there's some talent there. But I don't see them pulling it together. What do you think?
Their big three offseason acquisitions were Solomon Hill.
Yeah.
Etuan Moore. And Langston Galloway.
Yeah, not great.
I will take the under.
Enough said. All right, let's move on to Oklahoma City. 43.5 for Oklahoma City. I'm going to let you start with this one. 43.5.
I'll take the over on this. You know, they won, what, 44 games 2 years ago when Durant missed 50 or 60 games? And this is a better roster. I mean, first of all, I think it's always easier when you go into a season knowing what your roster is and not having to kind of ad-lib mid-season due to a bad injury. But this is a better roster than that. You know, I understand they lost Ibaka as well, but I'm high on Oladipo. I'm high on Steven Adams being playoff Steven Adams now for a full season.
He's going to be great.
I like Sabonis. I like, is it pronounced Abrinas? Abrinas?
I think it's Abrinas.
I like Abrinas as a guy who can come in for 18 or 20 minutes and play some defense and hit some threes. I just think there's a team that all of that surrounding demon, bent on revenge, Russell Westbrook, finds a way to win 45 or 46 games.
Are you saying that you're in on the narrative of Russell Westbrook taking over this year?
Yeah, but again, we don't have to use the word narrative.
that's what I was baiting you into saying.
That's just a reality. Russell Westbrook has gone slightly even more insane than he already is and will be taking that out. I mean, have you watched him in preseason?
Oh.
Like, it's such a cliche to say some guys don't know how to turn the off switch. They don't know how to play 90%. It's never been more true for anyone I've watched in any sport. Maybe Pete Rose than Russell Westbrook.
He's so angry.
So angry.
I love it. I love it. League pass team?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be watching a lot of the Thunder this year.
Okay. Phoenix, their win total is set at 30. This is
so
one...
That's come up a little bit. What do you think about 30? I had seen it at 28, which made me a little happier.
I would love to get it at 28, because even at 30, this is one of my favorites.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm taking the over big time here. There's a lot of talent in Phoenix. Their backcourt rotation, Eric Bledsoe, Brandon Knight... They've got some really good players. Devin Booker is the NBA GMs think he could be the breakout player of the year. I really like a lot of the pieces that they have here. If Alex Len can stay healthy, Tyson Chandler's still there, who's serviceable. I think there's more depth here than people think. And in Bledsoe, we trust, right, Jordan?
Obviously, I'm with you. I think Bledsoe is one of these guys, almost like Blake, where being injured on and off over the last year and a half has really diminished kind of his value in the popular imagination. The guy is great. I think he and Booker, with Brandon Knight as a sixth man, is an incredibly strong backcourt rotation. One of the best in the league. They've got fun rookies coming in who are going to get some minutes, and they'll develop Marquese Chris, and they'll develop Bender. And like you said, they have a sneaky wing rotation of, like, smart guys who do good things.
Yeah.
In Jared Dudley and P.J. Tucker, mm-hmm. and kind of a developing T.J. Warren. I like this team. I think they can win 34 or 35 games.
Yeah. Look, the West is tough this year, and we've already talked about kind of how someone has to lose. Someone's got to be the team that wins 23, 24 games. I just don't think it's going to be Phoenix. There's too much talent there for me to see this going completely south. I think they'll be scrappy. For all the attention that Denver's getting as kind of a scrappy underdog that people are loving, I think Phoenix is flying under the radar and should be considered right along Denver as this team in the West that could kind of rise up a little quicker than people think.
I wish they had a coach I knew a little bit more about. Earl Watson might turn out to be great, but if Phoenix was, say, if they had gotten Frank Vogel,
I
would feel so confident banging the over there. But with an unknown coach, you do worry a little bit. Kind of, what if he can't figure out how to make these pieces fit together?
Agreed. That's an excellent point. Portland, 45.5. Portland's a tricky one. They obviously surpassed expectations last year, made a playoff run that a lot of people are, putting a lot of weight into, I guess you could say. 45.5, what do you think, over or under?
To me, that's such a stay away.
Yeah, me too.
If I had to bet it, I'm betting slightly under. I think CJ McCollum, I do think a real thing, not a sophomore slump, it's obviously his fourth year in the league, but I do think it's different when teams start game planning for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have to assume that last year in the first half of the season, you have a lot of game plans that are basically, hey, we're going to do X, Y, and Z to stop Lillard, and if that results in getting the ball out of his hands and CJ McCollum having X, Y, and Z opportunities, we live with that. Well, that's not going to be true this year. Now, CJ McCollum is part of the game plan. We're going to do this to Lillard. We're going to stop McCollum from doing this.
Right.
And as much as I like, I love Plumlee. I really do think he's kind of a poor man's Draymond Green in terms of what he can do as a ball handler on the fast break and as a passer. He's a super underrated player. But I just think this is a little bit of a plateau year for Portland, where they're not catching anyone by surprise, and McCollum's not catching anyone by surprise. And Evan Turner, even though I kind of liked him in Boston, is a guy where it's going to take a little time to figure out how to use him and fit him in.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure I can see them winning 46 or 48 games.
I don't trust the front court, guys. They got a lot of different names they can throw at you. Ed Davis, Myers Leonard, Plumlee, like you said. It just feels like teams are going to figure it out a little bit more and say, okay, Al-Farouq Aminu, you want to drop 20? Fine. Mo Harkless, you're going to beat us up for 16-18? Go for it. I think we see Lillard harassed more, doubled more. Same thing for McCollum. I think they're a little easier to stop now that, like you said, the scouting report's out a little bit. I think they're going to make these other guys try and beat him, just defenses around the league. So yeah, I would take under as well, but I'm staying away. Let's move on to Sacramento. This is an easy one for me and might be my favorite. Sacramento 34. What do you got?
Well, it's your favorite. You may as well start.
I'm going way under, man.
I hate
Sacramento this year. And if there's a team that I'm pegging to be really bad in the West, it's Sacramento. I think they're going to be the worst team in the Western Conference. I think this is the year where finally they have to trade DeMarcus Cousins because everything's going to implode around them. You got already issues with Darren Collison being suspended to start the season. Ty Lawson is already missing team flights. There's issues there. Matt Barnes is there. Rudy Gay wants out. Like, can you imagine a more toxic locker room than Sacramento's? This is, if they lose, if they come out and start the season 2-6, 2-7, the wheels are going to fall off so quickly, it'll make your head spin. I just think this is a team destined to be one of the worst five teams in the league and the worst team in the Western Conference in my mind.
They may be the last franchise this side of the Knicks to not realize that culture matters.
They don't get it. Yeah, they don't get it.
Like, bringing in Matt Barnes and Ty Lawson when you're trying to create a winning environment around DeMarcus Cousins is insane. And by the way, in a lower-key way, so is bringing in Aflalo. Everywhere Aaron Aflalo has gone in the last 3 years, he's ended the season nearly out of the rotation and complaining about not getting enough shots.
Yeah.
Like, that's who he is at this point. He's a league average two who thinks he's still, like, a borderline all-star or something.
Right.
Crazy roster construction here. And the only reason I worry about making that bet is that DeMarcus is just that good. Like, what if he just wins 33 games by himself?
That is the concern, that DeMarcus will just carry them. But I think at this point in his career, he's going to demand a trade and want out at some point this season. And no one will blame him for it, right?
No.
He'd be completely justified if he said, look, I'm done, trade me, or I'm not playing. Can players do that? Can they just sit?
Well, they can't just sit, but I do think it's interesting that that could be DeMarcus's version of the famed Olympic bump, which is not only that he's a better player, but he just spent the summer experiencing for the first time in his professional career, like, oh, this is what it's like.
Right, the ball
playing
moves.
Playing with great players, right. Good coaches, and a winning attitude. Like, that would make me that much more bitter about going back to Sacramento.
Oh, absolutely. And he's looking at his front court partner, Rudy Gay, who's already said he's gone. Like, what kind of defense is Rudy Gay going to play this year? He's already said he's not coming back to Sacramento. What's the incentive for all these guys to play as hard as they possibly can?
And these reports that Vivek's response to Rudy Gay is, yeah, we think we're going to re-sign him.
Yeah.
Like, no. I know that he's come out half a dozen times and killed his own trade value by announcing that no matter what happens, he won't be on our team next year, but we think we can change his mind.
They are so blind and delusional to everything. It's just a disaster of a franchise. All right. Under. I'm taking under big time on them. San Antonio, 58.5. Tough one.
Boy, I think that's a really good number. I just think the number's in the right place. Gun to my head. Also, by the way, I apologize. That's another expression that needs a moratorium. Like, when am I going to have a gun to my head when someone's like, hey, over under, 58.5, San Antonio Spurs.
If you get,
depends on it.
If you get really good at this thing, maybe.
That's true. I guess I'm taking the under just because even though they won 67 games last year, we know that this is not a team that's going to push their players into winning an extra three or four games once seeding has kind of shaken out by late March.
Right.
So when you have a number that high, that is something I think about, which is as good as this team is, they could win 60, they could win 62. But if Pop is locked into the three seed, he's not going to.
Agreed. No Duncan. No Boris Diaw, which a lot of people forget about. Parker and Manu getting a year older. They got some new guys to try and integrate. San Antonio is magical. They do it every year. They surprise us no matter what. by just rattling off win after win after win. I'm going to stay away from this one totally. I think I would just barely take the under, though, if I had to.
Agreed.
Okay, that's the last team in the Western Conference. We did it.
No, it's not. We did not.
We did it?
What about the Utah Jazz?
Oh, the Utah Jazz. They're not even on here. Utah Jazz. I don't know what they're not listed. They're off the board.
I believe it's 48.5 the last time I looked at it.
48.5? Okay, 48.5. What are you doing?
I'm taking the under, and maybe this is too much recency bias from the way I got burned last year with New Orleans. I took the over on New Orleans last year and was immediately kicking myself where it's like, look, these numbers are set so carefully by Vegas.
Yeah.
That if you can look at a team and just see, hey, they're going to be missing three of their core players, even for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, well, that should be a difference maker. And to me, yes, I believe in Utah. I believe they're going to be really good. I believe they're going to be scary in the playoffs. But you already are starting with Gordon Hayward out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You have, I can't believe I just blanked on his name. Who's the other front court guy with Gobert? Not Travis Booker?
Derek Favors?
Derek Favors has some kind of IT band issue. He might miss the first week or two of the season. And honestly, just those issues are enough that I think it's going to be tough for them to get to 49 wins.
Yeah, I think they're a team that defensively is going to be really good. We've talked about Utah a lot on this podcast. That would be a pretty sizable jump for them. I do think they're a playoff team. I don't know if they're in that 50-win range yet, just offensively with Hayward out. They might have some issues scoring. I'm going to stay away completely. A lot of smart people that I really trust think this is a 50-plus win team. I'm going to stay away. I think if I was pressed, I would take the over, but it's not one that I want to bet.
Now we've done it. We've gone through all the teams.
Now we've done it. Western Conference is complete. Jordan, that'll do it for our show. Thanks for coming on, man.
Could you refer to me as a co-host in the outro?
Yes. Co-host Jordan Heimer signing off.
Excellent.
For DJ Foster and newly minted co-host Jordan Heimer, thank you for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review us. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast. Enjoy your day.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.